בעזרת השם, we're in the shiur of ליקוטי מוהר"ן, תורה כ"ט, פרט ח'. We're in the middle of פרט ח'. Maybe four lines before the end of part Chet, it's written Zacha. If the person purified himself, so by drinking wine, Na'asa Rosh, he becomes to be a head, means that he become wise. Lo Zacha, Na'asa Rash, if he haven't purified himself, he becomes to be poor. Gemara in a different place is saying, "En ani ela min adat." A poor person that means not poor from money, and of course that by pshat Rabbeinu is talking about parnasa. But lemaise, bottom line, who cares about parnasa? In this world, who have time to think about parnasa? Thank you very much. Who's got time in this world to think about money? In this world that is passing so fast that a person cannot know if he's going to spend another day in this world, so he's spending his hours working on something that maybe going to give him salary in 30 days. In this world we have to sacrifice ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you're going to think that maybe a Rav is talking too high and saying things and not, it's just because you don't believe in yourself enough to understand that every word that's written in the Gemara Kedosha is truth. Every word of Tanaim, of Amoraim, of real Tzadikim that wrote the books of Chassidut, all of those words are words of truth. And no excuses of this generation, and look at the souls, we are tired. There is a nature. The one that have confidence in Hashem Yitbarach is with him. There is tests. I'm not saying that there is no tests. But it's tests to check your confidence. Not to check if Hashem is going to give you the money or not. He's going to give you the money if you're going to have the confidence. If you see that you don't have confidence, go and work on confidence. Go and pray. Go and do Mesirut Nefesh. Amar Rabbi Chanin, Amar Rabbi Chanina, everyone that is davening, long prayer, Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving to him everything that he is asking. Tfilato lo chazeret rekan. He will not be empty-handed. Empty-handed. For sure, HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to fulfill his need. One of the friends asked me, if I live now in a house that I'm paying rent 3,000 shekels a month, I don't want to bother HaKadosh Baruch Hu to ask for a bigger house that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have to give me 5,000 shekels a month. I told him, wait 1 second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to sit. You mamash shaked him. He don't know what to do with those 200 shekels. 2,000 shekels, what are you going to do now? How are you going to deal? Another 2,000? Are you sure? Every month? Oh, yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to sit. Let him sit a few minutes, let him relax, to digest it, la'akel et ze, that you are asking for another 2,000 shekels every month. Whoa, how are you going to deal? What are you going to do? It's imaginations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving to you everything that you need. And if you, for your tikkun, need to be poor, you're going to be poor and nothing's going to change it. And if you, for your tikkun, you see that every month, Baruch Hashem, you're handling, you're going to handle. If it's written that for Torah and for Shabbat and for Yamim Tovim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving money, and that the Parnasa been decided, how much money you're going to have this year, it's been decided already in Rosh Hashanah. So what you need to think about it in the middle of the year? If you have a tikkun in Tammuz, you're going to have a tikkun in Tammuz in a house of 5,000 shekels and in a house of 3,000 shekels. If now in Tammuz it's written that you're going to have issues of parnasa, you're going to have issues of parnasa even if you have $50,000 every month coming from United States, from the government, 100% check, no, not going back, no problems. Even in that, you can have situations. Kadosh Baruch Hu can do earthquake in every place, in every moment, for every person, even to the biggest hero, to the richest person of the in the world. He can shake his life if he wants. All of those things of poverty that Rabbeinu is saying, that if the person purified himself, so then he becomes to be ahead, and if not, he becomes to be poor. It's not talking about money. Money, it's according to your faith. It's according to how much you're mefarnes. It's written that how much as equivalent. Equivalent.
Income.
Corresponding to.
Equivalent.
To the satisfaction that you give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your prayers. This is how much that parnasa HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you when you need. Because we are giving parnasa to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our tefillot. I told you that once, maybe, I think so. We bought a car a few years ago, maybe 6-7 years ago. And I planned to sell my car. It was half of the amount of money to buy a bigger car. So we let's say for an example that the car cost 40,000 shekels. So I sell car of 20,000 shekels and I wrote a check on another 20,000 shekels for next month because a friend from the yeshiva promised to me that he's got a way to give me a gemach of another 20,000 shekels and I'm going to pay monthly 1,000 shekels to pay it back. 1,000 on a loan of 20,000 with no rebate and nothing. Gmach. So I wrote a check to the one and I took the new car and I sell the old car and I was driving. And in those 30 days that I had to find that gmach, I realized that the promise fly through the window and the person is not standing behind his promise and there was no gmach. And we came to that day that the person need to cash the check. And it's 20,000 shekels. And in the morning, I woke up and my wife is saying to me, what are you going to do? I told her I'm going to the yeshiva. She said, but what are you going to do with that 20,000 shekels check that you wrote? I told her, you're right. But you have another address that if I'm going to go to, they're going to give us 20,000 shekels. There is no place to go to. So I'm going to the yeshiva. She said, okay. I'm driving to the yeshiva in my new 40,000 shekels car, driving to the yeshiva, came to the yeshiva, I'm standing here down in the first floor, entering on the steps, like always, want to call my wife, before that I'm calling her, she's calling me. She's saying to me, you don't believe it. I told her what? She said, we have 26,000 shekels in our bank account. I told her, how can it be? We had maybe 1,100 shekels before. I told her before of Shabbat, it was Sunday. I told her, how can it be? She said, you remember 3 years ago that we sued the Bituach Teumi Social Security? 3 years ago. In that day, they paid to us 25,000 shekels in that day. The person went with his check to the bank, cashed it, and this is what had happened. When I came in those days, Rav Shalom, maybe 5 years ago, Rav Shalom was giving shiurim every morning in Likutei Moharan in the yeshiva. Before of his shiur, I told him, Rav, you have to listen. This is what happened this morning. In his shiur, he told us that story. In that shiur, he told us that story. He said there was a tzaddik. There was a tzaddik. His name was Rabbi Yitzchak Breiter. Rabbi Yitzchak Breiter, he was a Hasid Breslev that lived in Warsaw, in Poland, in the generation of the Holocaust. He'd been murdered in Treblinka with the rest of thousands of Am Israel over there in horrible Treblinka. Rabbi Yitzchak Breiter, he was a Roe Cheshbon. I say Roe Cheshbon?
Accountant.
Accountant. He was an accountant. with the decrees of the damned Germans before of the Holocaust, they stopped the Jews from working. Rabbi Yitzchak Breiter, he didn't have no parnasa, he couldn't work. What he done? He saw that it's written in Likutei Moharan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu make problems of parnasa to the person when the person is not serving him well enough. And if the person gonna fix himself, the parnasa gonna come also. So Rabbi Yitzchak Breiter saw that he's got problems with parnasa, he cannot work anymore. So he decided to increase his itbodeduyot and to do 6 hours itbodedut every day. And it's written on Rabbi Yitzchak Breiter that he was doing sixes few times. It's written on him that he was doing 6 hours itbodedut. One time, Rabbi Elchanan Spector wanted to meet Rabbi Yitzchak Breiter. They asked him, so he asked, where is Rabbi Yitzchak? They told him he's in his room, in the yeshiva. He went to the room, he knocked on the door, he saw the door is locked. He asked him, where is it, Rabbi Yitzchak? He told him he's doing itbodedut now. He said, all right, I'm going to wait 1 hour. He waits, sat outside 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Rabbi Yitzchak is not coming out. After 6 hours, it's written, after 6 hours, Rabbi Yitzchak went out from the room. So Rabbi Elchanan Svektor asked him, why, what happened today? My yom yomai, what happened today than 2 days ago that now you're doing 6 hours? So he told him, I almost achieved that. I almost got it to start speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the heart. Almost. He was entering into the Kedusha. He was almost there after 6 hours of itbodeduyot. He wasn't even really achieving what that he needed. So Rabbi Yitzchak Breiter, in that moment that he saw that his parnasa is in a lot of difficulties, he decided to do a lot more hours of itbodeduyot and to sit more hours every day in Beit HaMidrash. While he's sitting in Beit HaMidrash, one day came a rich person that he had a bakery. And that person came to Rabbi Yitzchak and gave him a big, large, golden coin. Gave him that golden coin. So Rabbi Yitzchak stopped for one moment, told him thank you very much for helping me with the parnasa, and went back to his limud. So that rich person started to walk away from Rabbi Yitzchak and went back, came back, turned over and came back to Rabbi Yitzchak. And he told him, Rabbi Yitzchak, I have a question, something hard, I have a kushiya. Told him what? He said, it's written, Na ra'iti ve'gam zakanti, ve'lo ra'iti tzadik ne'ezav, ve'zar'o mvakesh lachem. I was young, and now I'm old, and I never saw a righteous man that left alone, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu left him. And here, you are a righteous man, and you don't have parnasa. And me, that I'm not righteous at all, and I'm working all day long with my son in the bakery, and v'zaron v'kesh lachem, and his seed, it's written in the end of the verse, and his seed is asking for bread. So, and here you don't have parnasa, and me, that I'm working in a bakery, I have my parnasa, and I'm not lack of adraba, bread. You can sell, they had making a lot of money on bread in those days. So, you see? So Rabbi Yitzchak asked him, he told him, have I asked you for the money? I never asked you for the money, right? He said, right. He said, you just came and gave me the parnasa because you wanted. You saw my son asking for money. You never saw my son asking for money. But what your son outside of the bakery is doing all day long, he's standing outside of the bakery and he's screaming and he's shouting to everyone, bread, bread, everyone that wants. Bread in cheap prices, hot bread, wonderful bread. He is the one that is asking for bread, not me. You're the one that is asking for parnasa, not me. And then Rav Shalom, when he finished that, he said, this is the ma'ala, the quality of confidence in Hashem Yitbarach. Rabbi Yitzchak Breiter understand, and each and every one of us should understand that also. Because our generation, it's not harder than the generation of before of the Holocaust. It's not harder at all. Adrabah, it's a lot easier. And in this generation that it's a lot easier, we have the same rules of creation. If you have confidence in Hashem Yitbarach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gonna be there with you. And he's gonna supply you all your needs. And if for your real tikkun, to achieve your goal in life, to come to the purpose that for that you came to this world, to fix your midot, to buy faith, you need to have difficulties, you're gonna have them. Even if you're gonna put all of the ishtadluyot, all of the efforts, you're still gonna have difficulties. Because if you're here, you have to work on something, you have to fix. One need to fix in Shlom Bayit, one need to fix in Parnassah, one need to fix in Limud HaTorah that he cannot sit. And one cannot pray, and one cannot, nothing, everyone, with his difficulties. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you, in every situation. And we just need to attach ourselves to him. And not based on the term that if we're going to serve him right, he's going to give us the money, and if not, we're coming to the Beit Midrash to learn Torah if we understand and if we don't understand. We're working on our Shalom Bayit even if the wife is smiling and even if she's not smiling. To give when the wife she's smiling to you, when she's giving to you, when she loves you, when everything is good, it's not a big deal. But when she's arguing with you, and when she's rebuking you, or when she's lazy and she doesn't have no power to move a finger in the house, then you should give. Let's see you give in that situation. This is a real tzaddik. This is a real righteous man. Rabbi Shmuel Shapira, that we talked about him so much, that all of the, with one third of the world was existing only because of his Shmirat HaEinayim, like the Rebbe Migur testified on him. Rabbi Shmuel Shapira, he was shouting every night from Chatzot until the morning in the Ma'arat Tzidkiyahu, in Tzidkiyahu grave over there, close to Shar Shechem. It was open, today it's closed with a gate, but it was open in those days. He was entering into that cave and he was shouting until the morning, until that he was puking blood from his throat. On matters of Kedusha. He was with his wife 6 times, like the number of kids that he had in his life. 6 kids. 6 times. She went to the Badat Zedah Haredi to complain on her husband that he is not a husband, that he's weird. They asked her, they investigated a little bit, they told her, listen, you're married to a righteous man, to a tzaddik, so go home, relax, realize where you're living, keep on doing the right job that you're doing. All day long in Shimon HaTzadik, screaming and shouting to Hashem. The Jordanian soldiers brought him to Eretz Israel. They said, we found him walking in Jordan, closing his eyes in Midbar Yehuda, walking, screaming. They couldn't handle with him. They took him back to Eretz Israel. Hey, take him. We don't know what to do with him. So that Rabbi Shmuel Shapira, his wife and his kids, said that always, he had a very sick wife. His wife, she was mamash, very sick and very weak. A lot of stories like that. One night she told him, he came back after Ma'ariv, he was usually going to sleep immediately after Ma'ariv to wake up Chatzot, to go to the fields, to go to the desert. He saw that she is very weak. He told her, what are you doing? She said, I'm planning to fix the house, to clean the house, there is a lot of dishes. Lot of mess in the house, the kids all day long, 6 kids. He told her, if you're gonna go to sleep now, angels gonna fix your house. Everything gonna be perfect in the morning. She said no, tried to argue with him a little bit, he convinced her, she went to sleep. He went to sleep also, he woke up Chatzot, and from midnight until dawn, he fixed all of the house, he cleaned, washed the dishes, he was cleaning the house. Fixing everything. In the morning, she woke up at 8. He just came back after nets from the shul. This is a righteous man. A righteous man, it's not a man that's only in the fields. It's written on Rabbi Getzi, one of the Hasid of Breslev from the generation of Uman. He is buried in Uman in the cemetery, the Jewish cemetery close to the Tzion of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, over there, close to Rabbi Avram ben Rab Nachman. It's written on Rabbi Getzi that he was one of the biggest of the Hashem. That you could never see him without tefillin and mesirut nefesh, Rabbeinu Tam, and long, long itbodeduyot. Huge, huge tzaddik. And it's written on him on the book, in the book Siach Sarfei Kodesh, the conversations of angels. It's written on him that, but if he knew that his wife need him, even in the middle of the tefillah, he was removing his tefillin and running to the house to help with, to the wife and kids. This is a righteous man. A righteous man is a man that is serving Hashem, not a man that wants that Hashem going to serve him. That Hashem going to help him to be all day long in Beit Midrash. That Hashem going to help him to be all day in the field, 6 hours every day. That Hashem going to help him that he will have quiet in his Avodat Hashem, that the Parnassah going to come into his bank account, Benachat, that it's all going to be fixed, that he going to be able to serve Hashem. You're not serving Hashem. You want Hashem to serve you. That you're going to live like a king, that everyone going to honor you, going to respect you, going to give you everything that you need, money, parnasa, your wife going to say amen on everything that you say, and this is avodat Hashem, by your definition. It's not avodat Hashem, it's your avodah. This is how that you want everyone to serve you, to give you what you need. Avodat Hashem is when you're serving Hashem, in the situations that Hashem wants you to serve Him. With one leg in the air, one leg is jumping, one hand tied behind the back, one eye closed. This is how Hashem wants me, I'm happy. This is Hashem how you want me to serve you, this is how I'm going to serve you. I'm more than happy to serve you, and I don't care. And if I do care, and if it's hard for me, I'm going to go to the field and I'm going to talk to Hashem on that. Please Hashem, give me the satisfaction from your Avodat Hashem. Not that I'm going to be the master here. That you're going to be the Lord. That I'm going to listen to you. That I'm going to be happy with everything that I'm going through in my life. That the difficulties, I'm going to understand that they're from you. So it won't be difficulties anymore. It's a merit to suffer for Hashem Yitbarach. In different generations, they had to die. To jump into the fire with smiling faces to honor Hashem Yitbarach. In this generation we have easy life, very easy life. So we have a war. We have a war inside of our heads all of the time. 24/7 craziness. Craziness. Every moment. Yeah, you want to be a tzaddik now and tomorrow you want to break it all. And now you want to live in Jerusalem and soon you want to go back to I don't know what. And you want to one day to be a Hasid and after it to wear jeans and then to learn Gemara and then maybe you need to learn a profession to be a doctor. Everyone are nodding. Yes! Yes! Why not? There is craziness in this generation. But with all of the craziness, you have electricity, you have water running in your pipes, you have air condition, not in the yeshiva, but in the houses. Not in the houses also. Also in the next apartment you won't have air condition, don't worry. So what? This is difficulties? It's not difficulties. It doesn't call difficulties. This is something that you know for sure. And with our wonderful classes, you know on what you need to put the effort. With the wonderful wisdom of Rav Shalom Arush, at least you know on what you need to put your finger. I know what's the purpose, I know what's the tachlit. I know I need to talk to Hashem about it. Rabbi Natan, how he knew that Rabbeinu is so huge because of that. He came with a huge question that he had to a lot of tzaddikim in that generation, that we weren't going to mention their names. Huge, huge, holy tzaddikim in that generation. Tzaddikim that we're going to crawl to bow when you're going to come to their tzion, to their graves, to pray because of their huge merit. And Rabbi Natan was working with them, and he was helping them, and he was writing for them, and serving mamash, mamash, in Sirut Nefesh. And he asked all of them the same question. What he can do with the... He had a train of thoughts in his mind, all of the time, never stopping thoughts, all of the time. In Kedusha, he wasn't filthy at all. He was holy. But he couldn't rest for one moment with his thoughts. All of the time, a machine working, ta 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 ta, and cannot stop, and he didn't know what to do. He asked all of the tzaddikim, what should I do? None of them had the answer for that. When he came to Rabbeinu, immediately, Rabbeinu told him, and you know, on every problem that you have, you can talk to Hashem Yitbarach on that. This is it. Is there something more simple than that? No. This is what Rabbeinu told him. He said, in that moment, I realized that he is the tzaddik I met. that he is the real righteous man in this generation. This is the solution. Talk to Hashem on your problems. This is it. No bigger solution. What do you want? What do you want? Wisdoms. Go to the university. Go to the university if you want wisdoms. Here you learn how to serve Hashem. To serve Hashem, you need to be with Hashem. Hashem, what do you want? Hashem, you want me to do tshuva? I'm going to do tshuva. You want me to pray? I'm going to pray. You want me to learn? I'm learning. This is your obligations. You don't have more obligations than that. If you're doing that, you're going to succeed. Now you see you have difficulties, you need to learn about that subject. And then you need to pray on that, that you're going to have the merit to buy that, to have it also in your life. You see that you have a Rav that is doing those things and he's achieving whatever he needs to achieve. So you should learn from him. You see the friends in the yeshiva are achieving things by that, also by those Yidbod Eduyot, by those prayers. Learn it. You cannot go never to do 6 hours Yidbod Eduyot. You don't have a free evening. You don't have Fridays. You cannot go and work on something to put a lot of effort on until you're going to achieve it. Not one time. Until you're going to buy it. Until you're going to buy it. Now you live so easy and so nice and so everything is wonderful that no, you don't want to ruin your life with a few more hours of it. But you're suffering every day. Everyone with this issue. One with Shalom Bayit. One educate his kids. One Parnasa. One have them all. Wonderful. So Adrabah, you need to go more. And this is the solution. I know a friend from this yeshiva that for 8 years he didn't have boys. 8 years he didn't have boys. He went to do 6 hours Yidbod Eduyot. He came to Arav, he told Arav, I done 6 hours. Arav told him, go and do more. He went and he done another one, another one, another one. Maybe 20 times he done 6 hours Yidbod Eduyot. His wife now soon gonna give birth. In the end of her pregnancy, after 8 years. Another six. You have something to lose? If not those 6 hours, you're going to have another 6 years and 6 years and 6 years. So your son is sick, so your daughter is sick, so you don't have panasa, so your wife, she's crazy. You need to pray on her. Of course she's going to be crazy. She's got a crazy husband. One day you want to be an angel, in the second day he wants to be a priest. No, let's go to Elat. No, let's go to Uman. She cannot handle Elat and Uman, Los Angeles and Uman in the same week. She cannot. Only you, with your crazy mind, you can live in those two worlds together. She cannot. If you would have been a righteous man, she knows. Alright, simple life. But you're jumping. No, today a restaurant and tomorrow we're starving. She cannot live like that. She's not a yo-yo that you can play with her every day to make her crazy. Up and down, up and down. No, today, mother, we are tzaddikim. From now on, tzaddikim. Tomorrow, 4 hours, drowning in YouTube. She cannot handle that. She cannot. You're talking to her about Shmirat Einayim, about modesty, and she sees you walking with your hand like a tourist outside. She cannot handle that. That sorrow, she cannot. You make her crazy. So she's crazy. Who made her crazy? You said in the wedding she wasn't crazy. Now she became to be crazy. So you were the only one that was there to make her crazy all of those years. You need to pray on her, to have rachmanut on her. To have mercy, rachmanut, care about her. You made her crazy. She doesn't have family here, she doesn't have friends here, she doesn't have parnasa here, she doesn't have Torah here. She's not sitting in the Beit Midrash every day 6 hours and learning Torah and Chizukim with friends. She doesn't have that air condition of 1 hour it would do every day. She doesn't have those things. You're wondering how she become to be so crazy. Let's see you in the house. Are you in the house after 3 hours? How you look? More crazy than her after 4 or 5 hours in the house. You're a lot more crazy than her. So work on your midot and understand her. And take her once in a while outside to eat something, to drink something, to walk. Bring her money to buy things. Do Mesirut Nefesh. If you're not doing that for her, so from what she gonna revive herself? From what? From your stories about Harav, Harav, Harav. I told you, my wife told me, so go marry Harav. Leave me alone. Go and marry Harav and leave me alone. Stop making me crazy. All day long, Arab, Arab, Arab. She doesn't care about your Arab. job, you're happy, okay, be happy. Don't make it crazy. She doesn't want to hear about your rav 24/7. A rav. You want to live with a rav? He's got a big house, go live with a rav. That's what the rabbanit, go live with a rav. You need to understand. In the house, in Shalom Bayit, in all subjects, it's the same. On Parnasa, what do you want about Parnasa? Hashem, he's the one that gives Parnasa. You have problems, you have complaints, go talk to him. What do you want? What do you want from the yeshiva? What do you want from your boss? What do you want from your wife? Why you're spending, why you're not spending? You are obligated to give her more money than you have. This is the halakha. Halakha is saying that you need to honor your wife with more that you got. You have problems with the Shulchan Aruch? Go in Tzfat, there is the Tzion of Rabbi Yosef Karo. Go! Fight with Rabbi Yosef Karo, he's buried in Tzfat, he's not hidden. He's in Tzfat, close to the Ari HaKadosh, maybe you have problems with him also. Go! Fight with Ari HaKadosh, argue with Rabbi Yosef Karo, that he obligated us to give the wives more than what that we have. Where are you going to find it? Now you're going to fight with her on where to find the money. It's not her job. You signed the ketubah, the obligation to bring Parnasa. She wasn't signing nothing in the ketubah. Not to honor you, she's not obligated to honor you. Not to make you happy. And you are obligated in all of those things. Not to give you clothes, not to wash dishes. No one have it in his ketubah. It's not written in none of our ketubot. That she's gonna wash dishes, that she's gonna clean the house, that she's gonna make laundry, that she, how you say, iron the clothes. It doesn't written nowhere. She's gonna cook to Shabbos, she's gonna clean to Shabbos, she's gonna raise the kids, change diapers. It's not written in the ketubah. It's written in the ketubah that you're obligated to honor her and to make her happy. And if she's not happy, so you're breaking that contract that probably you made an oath. Because most of the weddings are under oath. B'shvuah chamura b'tkiat kaf. So you are breaking an oath, a very strict oath, every day, few times. And you have complaints on her, now going to make her cry also on that you regret that you made that oath. You're not allowed. You have to make her happy. How are you going to make her happy? You don't know. Great, I know that you don't know. Go to the field. This is that poor person that we're talking about. The poor person is not from money. There was one of the students of Baal Shem Tov that he was totally poor. One day his wife, she was outside from the house. It was morning. He was davening shacharit. The wife, she is going outside to the yard, to the field in front of the house to pick chips of wood to make a fire, something like that. And she's collecting and picking more and more and more, and she... Suddenly she started to cry from the poverty, and she thrown it all on the floor, and she started to cry, and she said, cannot stand that poverty. And then she started to hear her husband singing Psuke de Zimra, and she hear the wonderful tomb songs that he's singing, Psuke de Zimra. She's breathing and relaxing, and then she's saying, but with those wonderful voices of Psuke de Zimra, everything is worth it. And she's going down and picking back those pieces of wood to collect them and to make a fire. Rabbi Shmuel Shapira and Rabbi Avram ben Rab Nachman, it's written on him, on Rabbi Avram ben Rab Nachman, that he was going out in Motzei Shabbat and he was coming back to the house in Friday to do Kiddush. And all days of the week he was outside. He was going to the field with a basket full with books and breads. And this is it, and water, a jar of water. This is what that he was taking with him every Motzei Shabbat. Every Friday she was screaming at him. Every Motzei Shabbat she was making the bread and the water that he's going to have it for the next week. Every Motzei Shabbat he was telling his wife, don't worry, I have a meeting this week with the manager. He's going to give us the parnasah. Don't worry. It's a very important person. Don't worry. I'm going to meet him this week. Every Motzei Shabbat. She said, the wife of Rabbi Avraham ben Rab Nachman, she said, from the honor and satisfaction that he was giving to me in Shabbos, I had power to suffer everything all days of the week.
you come into the house, what are you coming to do? To eat? To rest? Go to a restaurant, go to a hotel. If you come into the house, you're coming to help, to be there for your wife, to be there for your kids. This is the Avodat Hashem. If you don't have kids, you're coming for your wife. And even if you don't have the mind for that, so don't come. So decide that you don't want to live with that wife, but don't torture her. If you decided that you want to give your life, to put your effort in Avodat Hashem, so do. And even if you're not married, you need to take care of yourself. You have your obligations. You're not allowed to sin, and you're obligated to be happy. Mitzvah Gdola, Rabbeinu said, Mitzvah Gdola, Liyot B'Simcha Tamid, to be happy always. And Rabbeinu said, from the moment that a person starts to serve Hashem Yitbarach, to be in sadness, it's a huge Avera. Avera Gdola Me'od, Rabbeinu said. Sadness means that you're inviting the snake to bite you more. This is what that you're doing when you're sad. Rabbeinu is defining sadness, means that you're angry at Hashem Yitbarach, that He's not fulfilling your will. This is sadness. When you're sad, this is what it means. That you're angry, that Hashem is not fulfilling your needs, your will. So we need to work on that. So Avodat HaSimcha, it's a hard work. And Rav Shalom said that to a lot of Avrechim, he's saying to them to pray only on that, only on happiness. I know one friend of the yeshiva that every day he was doing Hitbodedut, a complete 1 hour only on happiness. After 10 years of being in the yeshiva, he came to Arav and asked him, Arav, should I daven on that more? He told him yes. 10 years, every day, 1 hour on happiness, and it's a very happy person. Very happy person. After 10 years, he came to Arav Shalom and asked him if he should continue davening on that or to change. Arav Shalom told him to continue. More than 10 years, every day, 1 hour is what they do on happiness. Why weren't you going to do that also? One going to choose Shalom Bayit, one going to choose Parnasa. Rav Shalom said, you have problems with Parnasa? Rav Shalom said, if you're going to stand in the field every day, 1 hour to ask from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, only one sentence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ten li kesef, ten li kesef, ten li kesef. Give me money, give me money, give me money. He said, that person going to have enough money lefarnes avrechim, to give parnasa to avrechim, to a lot more people. You don't believe in that, and on top of everything, you're totally lazy, that you don't want to do no effort. You want that the parnasa going to fly to your hands like a bird, like the Gemara is saying. But it's for a certain person, the parnasa me'ofefet lo kitzipor. To a very frum person, to a very holy person. Not to a person that is damaging his eyes, pogem babrit, looking at women, canceling Torah, not praying on parnasa, eating without netilat yadayim, or with netilat yadayim, but in the lowest level of them all, saying brachot with no intentions, birkat amazon with no intention, adraba, it's a burden, and he doesn't like it at all. The biggest gula le parnasa, it's birkat amazon. Say one word after the other. Rabbi Shmuel Horovitz, that he was a Hasid Breslev, that he had a very hard schedule. Very hard schedule. Every day. Also on Rabbi Natan it's written. On Rabbi Natan, that he was coming every evening to the house and sitting with his kids and saying with them Birkat HaMazon, eating with them. Because he wanted to be able to say with them Birkat HaMazon word after word. Baruch Atah Hashem, word after a word, to think, to say the bracha. With what you want to bring the bounty? If you don't have vessels, have to create vessels to enjoy from the bounty, from the shefa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving to us. Now they're going to give you all of the bounty. You have vessels to have it, to contain it, to keep it. No! Like a sieve, with all of our avonot, with all of our sins, it's all going to go down. You're not going to be able to hold it, even if you're going to get it. Need more prayers. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly why He's stopping you from your success. To bring you to the real success. That's going to be an eternal success. Alright, now you're going to have a wife. After 3 years you're going to divorce her. Because she's not cleaning, because she's not nice, she's not polite, she's not showering every day. I don't know what. So now you're going to divorce her. So it means that you haven't davened enough. So what's the tikkun on that? The one that went
ארבעה צריכים להודות. Four that needs to say thank you. The one that went to the desert, that one that went to the sea. Everyone that had something hard in their life need to say thank you. Why they need to say thank you? Because they were not praying enough before. If they would have prayed before, they wouldn't have to say thank you after. They would receive the panasa in a very easy way. Because they were not praying, they had to cross the desert to find the panasa, had to cross the sea to find the panasa, because they were not praying on panasa. So now when they're coming back, the tikkun is to say thank you. So now say thank you on your wife, that she's lazy. Now say thank you that you don't have panasa, because you were not praying on it. So you need to cover, you need to fix, to pay back your debts of prayers that you lack of. If you would have prepared yourself with prayers, you would achieve something perfect. You would get it. Rabbi Natan said, why in the end of my life, Besof Yamai, when he was old, Halach Li Kaseder, it went like that I wanted it to be, in the right order, because all of my life I was doing a lot of tefillot, a lot of prayers. So every one of us have more prayers than Rabbi Natan, and we're frustrated why it's not coming when we're not in the end of our lives at all. We're just in the beginning. The oldest person in this class can live another 40-50 years. If Hashem wants, why not? Hashem gonna give all of us long life, wonderful life of Avodat Hashem, of Mesirut Nefesh. And what do you care? What do you care how many days you're gonna live? What do you care? Is it your business? People are afraid from death. What do you have to be afraid from death? You should be afraid of death if you don't believe that there is a world to come. But if there is a world to come, Rabbeinu is saying, it's like to move an apartment. You have this house here, and now you're closing your eyes and you're moving to a next world. World to come. What's the problem? What do you think that over there? What's going to be over there? Hashem, righteous people, Am Israel, the same. Adrabah, colorful, very nice. It's wonderful. No other solution except of serving Hashem Yitbarach in Mesirut Nefesh. In this generation, in generations of poverty, in generations of death, of decrease, in every generation. Life of Mesirut Nefesh to Hashem Yitbarach. What do you care? Rabbi Yonatan ben Uziel never been married. You know, the one that everyone are going to ask for the zivug, for the mate, Rabbi Yonatan ben Uziel, he wasn't married. It's written on Bet HaMikdash that if there was a bird that was flying above Bet HaMikdash, she would burn because of the Kedusha, the holiness of Bet HaMikdash. Rabbi Yonatan ben Uziel achieved that also. He had the Kedusha of Bet HaMikdash on himself, that the bird that was flying above him would burn in fire. And he was a bachelor. He was a Ravak. He never been married. And now he is this gula that everyone that comes to his tziyun, people being blessed over there to find their mate, to find their shiduch, to find their zivu. Because that he wasn't looking at nothing except of how to make Hashem Yitbarach happy. How to complete my tikkun. We came here after who knows how many lifetimes. You know that you have lust for women? It means that you were defecting in that lust in a different lifetime. You have desire for money, it means that you defected on that in a different lifetime. It means you were stealing, robbing, something like that. You have anger that you want to kill once in a while someone, so it means that you defected on that also, that you are a shofer damim, that you murdered someone, that you stabbed someone, that you beat someone to death, something like that. You see that you're violent. You have desire for honor, it means that you were a Rebbe, that you were an Admor, that you were taking honor and honor and honor, and now you're sick with running and chasing after honor. All of those sicknesses that you see that you have in this life to fix, it's different lifetimes. It's teaching you what you need to fix. So now you're going to give an excuse why you cannot serve Hashem because you have lusts and desires? This is your Avodat Hashem, to break those horrible natures. And to climb above all of that. How are you going to do it without prayer? How are you going to do it without it? No way, forget it. People cannot change without prayers. Yeah, the people that think that they're going to change by Limud HaTorah, it's the worst.
because the limud haTorah, it's like electricity, it's chashmal, it's giving power. If you're mean, it's going to make you meaner. If you're good, it's going to make you wonderful. This is the Torah. It just make you bigger and powerful. If you're mean and vicious and cruel, it's going to make you a Jewish demon. Jewish demon, there is a lot of rabbis like those. Demons. Bad, bad, mean people. Chasing after honor, rebuking everyone, fighting with everyone, taking a lot of money, forcing people to do weird things. A lot of Jewish demons. A lot of demons, leaders. Our job and effort is to work on our midot. To work on our midot, to be a better person. To smile to everyone, to be nice, to be kind to everyone. To hope for Hashem, to pray, not to be angry, never, on no subject, in no situation. How do you know if that person that just came and slapped you, maybe you killed him in a different lifetime, and now by that embarrassing, you're paying back. And if now you're going to embarrass him back, you cannot fix it. You pushed it away, Yotikun. Isn't it worthy one slap instead of being stabbed to die in the middle of the street? You don't know. This is Shfichut Damim, insulting instead of blood. There is a story about Baba Elazar. Baba Elazar came to him, a person, a friend, I told you that story once, came to him. Baba Elazar stood up and started cursing him and insulting him. That person, scared, went out from the room, went into his car, made an accident. Came back crying to Baba Elazar. Oh, I'm sorry. Baba Elazar stand up, came to him, hugged him, kissed him, told him, my friend, my good friend, told him, I don't understand. 1 hour ago, I came to your room, you cursed me. And now I thought that I made an accident just because I made you sorry, I hurt you son. He said, no. When you came to my room, I saw the angel of death standing in front of you. So I poured your blood, shafakhti damcha, I insulted you here. If not, you would lose all of your blood in that car accident. You know, what's that small car accident? He ruined your bumper. I don't know what. What happened? It's inside your life. There was one tzaddik that he had a cow, and all of the panasa was from that cow. One day that cow choked to death. All of the family were afraid. What's going to be when the husband going to come? When he's going to come, he's going to be so sad, so frustrated. We don't have no panasa anymore. When he came, they told him the cow died. He started to dance. They asked him, what happened? Are you crazy? They thought he lost his mind. He said it came instead of one of the family members. Instead of the wife. There is that story about Eliyahu Navi that he killed that cow of that poor person. And it was Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi couldn't accept it. He told him, why you murdered, why you slaughtered the cow of that poor person? It was his only parnasa, only income from that poor, pathetic cow. He said, now I'm going to answer to you. The answer was, it was instead of the wife. Oh, the wife, but Eliyahu Navi changed it, switched, and killed the cow. What do you think the balabait going to be? Happy or sad? I'm going to tell you, sad. Why sad? Because he doesn't have faith. Because he doesn't realize what's going on. Because he doesn't have faith that everything that Hashem is doing for a good reason. Doing from a good reason. You lost your car, you lost your money, you lost your salary, something, a fine, doch, 1,000 shekels, I don't know what. It's all coming instead of life, instead of Limud HaTorah. You sit in the Beit Midrash, you need to pay something. One of the Avrichim told the Rav Shalom about poverty of years, debts to the makolet, to the grocery, and debts to people, not paying rent. Rav Shalom told him, listen, this is how that you pay for your tshuva process. You want to stop your payments or that you want to continue? This is how you pay for the merit to sit in a Beit Midrash, to learn Torah. You don't want that. You want it. You don't know what Hashem is doing, how Hashem is taking. Eretz Israel, you can buy it only by suffering. Niknet b'isurim. Torah Kedosha, you buy it by suffering. Niknet b'isurim. And the world to come, also, nikna b'isurim. You don't want to suffer. So you won't have Eretz Israel, you won't have Torah, and not going to have a share to the world to come. Who wants that?
No one wants that. So for that, you need to suffer. אשרי מי שעמלו בתורה. If you're going to put your effort in the limud, in the field, in the bodhidviyot, you're not going to have to suffer from the fact that you don't have air condition and I don't know what. Bills and fines and I don't know what. If a person is taking on himself the yoke of Avodat Hashem, so they're removing from him the yoke of Derech Eretz, all of judgments of this real illusionary world. But if not, if you are pushing away the Limud HaTorah, no, I don't have the time to learn today. No, I don't have the time to do 6 hours or the 1 hour in Bodedut. It's too heavy. It's too heavy. Go carry something else. Carry your dishwasher, carry your wife, carry your problems in Shalom Bayit. Carry them. You can take that carry that came to Eretz Israel now from the United States. You can carry him. To carry all of the carry of this world. A boy sigh. Rabbeinu is saying, על ידי זה, by that a person is not purifying himself, היינו כשלא זכה, when he's not purifying himself, שאינו מזכך את הדמים, when he's not purifying his blood, על ידי זה נעשה רש, by that he becomes to be poor from wisdom, שאין לו לחם מן השמיים כנל, that he doesn't have bread from heaven. What it means, bread from heaven? That he wakes up in the morning and suddenly he's got bread on the table that came from heaven? No. Bread from heaven, it means that you believe that your panasah coming from Hashem and not from people. This is not to enjoy matnot basar vadam, gifts from human beings. It's when you believe, nothing going to change. You're still going to have your panasah through the bank account, from salary, from people, but you're going to know that it's only from Hashem. This is the difference, if you believe and if not. No different in the reality. Reality been set in Rosh Hashanah. If you need to go through poverty, you're going to go through poverty. You need to be rich, you're going to be rich. There is a day that you get your salary. It's written already before. You can change your luck by doing more mitzvot, more tzedakah, more tshuva. You can wider your pipe. You can do something good, huge in your life. No problem. And you can lose also what did you have. But if you're just going to stay in your position and not doing nothing, your panasah being set in Rosh Hashanah. Lechem min hashamayim, it means that you don't suffer for the bread. That you all know that the bread is coming from Hashem Yitbarach. Aval zacha, but if you purified yourself, na'aseh rosh, you become to be a head, b'vchinat mochin, wisdom, an aspect of wisdom. Hainu b'vchinat hamshachat alav nunit min hamochin, means that you're pulling the white color from the brain. B'vchinat benozlim min Lebanon kanal, in the aspect of water that comes from Lebanon, like we learned, it's Beit HaMikdash. Thank you very much. Chazak
v'roch.
Wait,
tomorrow?
Yes. Tomorrow, I'm sorry for today, I'm not sure.